Here we go on a Friday, everybody. It's time for your Friday edition of your Berkshire Hathaway bi-weekly podcast from the studios of Grand Forks Best Source. We have got realty expert John Brodeen standing by. We're going to talk with him in just a minute.
Life, with its many stages. From the my little one has just arrived stage to the I have arrived stage. From the first home you'll ever buy to the one home you'll have forever. No matter where you find yourself in life, your forever agent will be there. Berkshire Hathaway Home Services. For you, for life.
All right, and we are back at our Friday edition of your Berkshire Hathaway bi-weekly podcast. John Brodeen, how you doing, buddy?
Yeah, good. How about you?
Good, good, good. So you got big plans for the weekend?
Well, my wife leaves today for a conference in Denver.
Dad duty. I take it she's not taking the daughter with.
No.
Okay.
So she'll be back on like Tuesday. So I'll see if I can pull this off.
Well, if I remember right, you usually spend most of the Saturday with her anyway, right?
Yeah. Friday is my day. Usually I spend with her, and when I'm done working, I go pick her up and we hang out for the rest of the day, and then Saturday I spend like the whole morning with her, then afternoon I go train and then hang out with her. Yeah, so weekend I spend most of the time with her anyway.
Now, do you use daycare? Or can you bring her to the office with you?
I could bring her to the office with me, but no, she's at daycare the majority of the day.
Because if you bring him to the office with you, you basically have daycare. Because all you're going to hear, so cute, can I hold her for a while? And blah, blah, blah. And they say, okay, I'll see you later.
Yeah. See if I can pawn her off on somebody else.
Yeah.
No, I should be fine. It'll be fun.
Okay. But. Getting back to the realty thing.
Yeah.
I've done this. I'm guilty of it, if you want to call it guilty or not guilty. When you're doing home improvements.
Yep.
And you have in mind, how am I going to get, what will be my best return on this money I'm spending, this investment I'm making? Mm-hmm. So if I want to do something to make my home worth some more money, what are the good ones and what are the bad ones? Because there's people that come up with harebrained ideas thinking, this is going to add $50,000 to the price of our house, and it doesn't. But are there good and bad?
So as an overall, yes, you're right. There are good and bad. The best ROI, best return on investment for certain home improvement projects can be over 100%. So if you spend 10 grand on something, maybe your home goes up in value by 12 grand.
Okay.
And then there's other home improvement projects where you maybe get like 30% of it back. So you spend 10 grand and your home only goes up in value by 3 grand.
Okay, sure.
Then you're losing money. So we're going to talk about which ones are good towards the top of the list.
Okay.
Even if it's getting 80-some to 90-some percent, it's still probably a pretty good home improvement project because you also get to enjoy it, too.
Exactly. You still get to enjoy it yourself.
But a general rule of thumb, try to stay away from overly personalized stuff. Personalizing the home, especially making permanent changes just to fit your unique needs and situation, it's not going to appeal to the masses, so it's probably going to be a pretty poor investment.
Yeah.
Going overly luxurious with things, especially we had talked about, you got to have the level of luxury of your improvements match the typical home in your neighborhood.
Right.
And kind of with whatever price bracket your home is in, you don't want to go too far above that with the type of improvements you make. And you definitely don't want to go too cheap either.
Right.
You know, spending a ton of money is almost a sure way to make it so you're not going to be able to get it back just because your home would have to go up so much in value with some of these things. So, for example, a good investment is usually finishing an unfinished attic space or unfinished basement space, finding a way to add bedrooms in those spaces. These are typically going to be good. Bad is pretty much any addition onto your house. You're just going to be spending so much money. And not saying this to offend anybody who's done additions, especially if you're going to be in your house for the long term and it's going to work out better for you. You get to enjoy it. Sometimes that's more important to you than trying to make it a great investment. But additions, especially today, are so expensive.
Yeah.
So, adding onto your house to make a master bedroom and bathroom, adding onto your house to make a sunroom, adding onto your house to just add a bathroom. These things are just, they're just so expensive. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing I find, just with my experience being in homes that have additions, there's a lot of times where, unless you change the whole layout of the home to match, the layout doesn't flow very well the way it did before. If you added something onto the back of the house, it just sometimes they seem kind of out of place, and it doesn't feel like very good use of the square footage that they added. So
I got a nephew and a niece that live down in the cities, have a couple of kids, and they're in a beautiful area.
Yeah.
Big fenced in yard, but they need more house, but they want to keep that one. So what they're doing, they're adding up a floor to the whole house. So there's no foundation, no footings, none of that kind of stuff. And maybe that's just a different way to look at it, but they're going through with it.
Yeah, I had a neighbor when I was growing up who did that with their house, and it turned out looking really nice. And you're not going to have those same issues really with like the layout not working.
Sure.
I'm not sure how that is as far as cost and return on investment. I'd have to look into that a little bit. But it sounds like it'd be a little bit more functional.
Yeah, and I would want a roof on my house on a day like today.
Yeah, having a roof on.
Because you're not going to have one for a while.
I know, right? Yeah, that's crazy. Then they do that. It's not a very common thing.
No.
You know, especially if the neighborhood supports it, if the other homes in the neighborhood are much larger and maybe more expensive, then I can see that working. If their house is the same size as it sits as all the other homes in the neighborhood, and now all of a sudden they're making it, you know, 40% larger than other homes in the neighborhood, that could be a downside.
Sure. Yep.
So you do have to factor that in, and that's where it's good to talk to a real estate agent too about that sort of thing before you make decisions. But so another good thing is smaller cosmetic kitchen updates. The bad thing is major luxury kitchen remodels, and it's going to depend again on the caliber of the home. If you're in a luxury home, you're kind of expected to have a luxury kitchen.
Yeah.
But if you're in a $225,000 home and you decide to do this high end, you know, $70,000 kitchen, you're going to get such a terrible return on investment
just because
you spent so much money.
Yeah. Why is this house worth $490,000? Well, it's got an $80,000 kitchen. Yeah. Oh, okay.
And people are going to see that list price, and it's not going to add up
because
you know, it's not going to be a good situation. Going super luxury on anything, especially in a, you know, medium price point home, it's not going to be a good look. Same thing with bathrooms, small cosmetic bathroom updates, great return on investment. Major luxury bathroom remodels where you're spending tons and tons and tons of money, way harder to recoup that money. So, now let's talk about like the exterior of the house. New garage doors, great investment. Really improves your curb appeal. But turning your garage into living space, especially in our climate up here, bad idea. Because you're losing garage stalls. People find that really valuable. Building a garage costs a lot of money, especially today with the cost of building materials. It's hard to recoup the cost, especially if you hire everything out. If you're a contractor and you do it yourself, sure, it might you might be able to break even or something on it. But and then when you turn a garage into living space, you're obviously getting rid of the garage door, and you're going to have to kind of change the cosmetic look and the curb appeal of the house. And sometimes, in my experience, the homes I've been in where people have done this, the curb appeal of the homes looks kind of funny, especially if they like leave the driveway going up to the house, but then there's no garage there. It just doesn't make sense. It looks really bad.
Yeah.
So another good one is new carpet and fresh paint. This is, you know, just one of those universal things. But on the bad side is if you go with bold, crazy paint colors. So my suggestion to people, go with a light, very light grayish color. That's what is going to be the most appealing to the majority of buyers out there. It's the
kind of a neutral.
Neutral is great. Yep, same thing with carpet. Don't do anything crazy. Don't overspend on the type of carpet either, depending on the caliber of home that you're in. If you're in a, you know, typical home, you don't have to get the most expensive carpet that's out there. New carpet just smells great. It's fresh. People get grossed out by old carpet because if you ever look at, you know, imagine the dirt and gross stuff that's hiding in there, trapped in there.
Yeah.
So new carpet and fresh paint, great improvement. Bold paint colors, bad improvement because buyers are going to walk in there and you no longer have like a move-in ready house. They're thinking about repainting as soon as they move in. So it's not, makes it so it's not turnkey even though you're trying to improve it. New front door is a great improvement for the outside of your house. But like knocking down a wall between two bedrooms to make one larger bedroom, definitely not a good improvement because the only people that's going to appeal to is people who don't have kids. Or like the retirement age people who are empty nesters, you know, families who are buying homes, they need more bedrooms for children. So, you're kind of cutting down the buyer pool that your home is going to appeal to if you knock out a wall between two bedrooms and turn it into one massive bedroom. So good, New landscaping, especially if you keep it modest, you don't overspend, it's going to improve the curb appeal of your house. It's going to improve the value of your house. It's one of those things where you can get over 100% return on the money you spent, especially if you do this stuff yourself, if it's simple enough. Bad in-ground pools, especially. So this was on a list that I looked at that was on Google that wasn't specifically for our area. For our area, it's even worse because you've got additional maintenance costs. Mm-hmm. You've got additional insurance costs. And they're expensive, so when you sell, your home isn't going to go up in value by nearly as much as what you spent on this in-ground pool. And here, you're not even going to get to enjoy it for more.
Yeah, and you're going to have every neighborhood rat in the neighborhood at your house all summer long.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if it's something you really think you're going to enjoy that much for the few months out of the year, but it's definitely not good for resale
value. I know people with underground pools in Grand Forks, and of course they love it, but what happens when the kids grow?
Yeah.
And are gone.
Exactly.
You know, then it's a skating rink.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. And very expensive once again. So the takeaway from this, anything that's overly personalized to your situation, anytime you're not sticking with stuff that's on trend and neutral, those are going to be bad investments. Anything that's extremely expensive is also typically going to be a bad investment, unless we're talking about the absolute highest end luxury homes. So, yeah.
All right. So, you always want to make your house worth more money.
Yep.
You never know how long you're going to be there. But this might not be a question. You know, if I was to call you with a question like that, it's like, okay, John, I don't want to sell now and I'm not looking to buy, but in 5 to 7 years, I might want to sell. What do you think if I did this? Yep. Is that a stupid question to call you and ask?
People do that all the time, actually. I'm doing that for somebody. I'm meeting with them tomorrow, or no, Thursday, about it. They're going to be selling in a few years, probably a couple years.
Mm-hmm.
There's a guy who said, he's probably going to be moving in 4 years, and he was kind of curious about what his home was worth and then wanted some advice on some projects. And I just met with a couple a few weeks ago. They're going to be selling, I think, not next summer, but the summer after.
Okay.
And they are doing some major stuff to their house, and they wanted to know what stuff's going to pay off, what stuff's not, kind of what finishes to pick, what stuff to pass on, leave it as is, and what stuff to do. And we went deep into it, giving them advice on every part of this renovation because they're doing it with the intention of making their home more marketable to sell.
Sure. And I would imagine in 3, 4, 5, maybe 10 years, you're still going to be a realty expert.
Oh, yeah.
And hopefully these people will come to you again and say, we took your advice, John. Now we want to sell.
Yep.
And here we go. Start the process.
Yeah, that's been the intention of every one of these people I've met with is, we're just getting ahead of it. So they're not, I have people who call me and they're like, hey, we want to list this house in 2 weeks. Well, there's stuff we can do in that amount of time, but it's mostly going to be staging and decorating and cleaning. Whereas if they contact me earlier, there's things we could do that they're going to get a great return on that take more time, and then they're not going to be stressing in that short amount of time leading up to when it's time to put it on the market.
Gotcha. All right. Now, how does somebody get a hold of realty expert John Brodine?
Yeah. If you're wondering what home projects you should do before you sell, you can give me a call, 701-213-5428. Check me out on social media. I make videos about this stuff all the time. YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, wherever you like to consume social media, I got content on there. So,
and you have yourself a wonderful weekend.
Yeah.
Have some good daddy-daughter time, buddy.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, there you go. Hey, that's John Brodine, and that's your Friday edition of your Berkshire Hathaway bi-weekly podcast. John will be back in a couple of weeks, and we will be back with another podcast with Berkshire Hathaway on Wednesday. Hey, until then, everybody, have yourself a great Friday, and have yourself a great weekend, too.